Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good morning and welcome to our Easter Sunday celebration service here at IPC Zurich. Low in the grave he lay, but up from the grave he arose. And we thank God this morning for the miracle of Easter and for the hope of the resurrection. If you're visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. Here at IPC, we hail from many places. We speak many languages. We come from many traditions. We cook many foods, as you will find out if you ever come to a potluck at the church. But we gather as one today. We gather as one today to celebrate our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Please join me now in prayer. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill us this morning with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to eternal life stands now open to us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Job chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. They can be found in your church Bibles on page 523, and you can also find them in your bulletin. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 1061 of your church Bibles and also in your inserts. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood behind them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up. He ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your love we might see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, I don't know if you looked in the bulletin or the program there and saw the sermon title, but if you did, you might have figured out that we're going to talk about nonsense today. Nonsense. Definition nonsense. Nonsense can be defined as spoken words that have no meaning or make no sense. And I'd like to tell you now about one research study I read about recently, a research study That was all about identifying nonsense. All right? Okay. So in this study, 18 subjects were asked to lie quietly while an MRI machine circled around their heads. The MRI machine was there to capture the subject's brain activity. Brain activity produced while the subjects listened with headphones to three different readings. Okay? Three different readings. The first reading was in their native language. The second reading was in a foreign language. And the third reading was just gibberish, nonsense speech, stuff that made no sense at all. In German, you might call the third reading, well, I've got it here, Kauderwelsch, all right? Or Geschwafel. Or my favorite, Quatsch. That's a great German word, Quatsch. So, now that I've got you lured in, you're all trying to guess what was the outcome of the study, right? Well, this. It showed that the pattern of brain activity was actually different in the subjects for each reading. The story listened to in their own language for the participants showed one pattern of brain activity. The story listened to in a foreign language showed another pattern of activity. And the gibberish, the nonsense, the quatsch, that was listened to and showed then another type of brain activity, another pattern. So interestingly then, what the study suggested was this, that the brains of the subjects could not only distinguish between their own language and a foreign language, but also a foreign language and nonsense. In other words, these subjects could easily recognize nonsense when they heard it. Well, you might be thinking, no, that's kind of interesting, Pastor Mark. Thank you for sharing that study with us this morning. We're not sure if it actually has anything to do with Easter, but okay, if you want to introduce your sermon by talking about recent studies in speech perception, have at it. Be our guest. Oh, but you haven't heard actually the most interesting part of the study yet. There's probably someone in here that knows it, I'm thinking, but who knows? The subjects who participated in the study, you see, were not humans. They were dogs. They were dogs. Yes, believe it or not, dogs were the subjects in the study. The 18 subjects in the study were comprised of 5 golden retrievers, 6 border collies, 2 Australian shepherds, 1 labradoodle, 1 cocker spaniel, and 3 dogs of mixed ancestry. Right? So the study was developed when 2 neuroscientists moved from Mexico to Budapest with their 2 border collies and a cat. And according to the description, one description of the study, when these 2 neuroscientists realized how different it was to be surrounded by people speaking Hungarian rather than Spanish, they wondered if their canine companions had noticed this as well. And it turns out they had. Okay, so perhaps the dog angle makes the study a little bit more exciting for us, but what I'm really interested in this morning, for our purposes, is that one finding from the study. The finding that even dogs know nonsense when they hear it. Something that apparently makes them a little bit like Jesus' disciples on that first Easter morning. Those disciples who on the first Easter morning received a report from some women about the situation at Jesus' grave, when these disciples hear the stuff that Mary and these other women are saying after returning from the place where Jesus was buried, when they hear this talk of an empty tomb and Jesus alive, the disciples call it out for what it surely must be. Nonsense. This again is what we read from, or Kathy read this from Luke 24 this morning about the disciples' initial reaction to the women's report of a very empty tomb and a very alive Jesus. This here again from Luke 24. They, the disciples, did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Well, you have to admit, those disciples of Jesus have a point, right? After all, their reaction to what Mary and the other women are saying is based not only on common sense, but also on rational thought and good science, right? Let's understand the situation once again. On Friday, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they saw their friend and their teacher. They saw him crucified on a cross. And when the Roman soldiers took him down from the cross, it's reported that he was clearly dead. Not almost dead, not pretty much dead, not fairly dead, not dying, but dead, which was 100% the outcome of crucifixion, right? Completely dead. We read elsewhere in the Bible that to make sure of this, a Roman soldier took a sword and ran it into Jesus' side. We have then further confirmation of the death of Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus dead, the disciples know it. They're presumably together that weekend grieving that death. Saturday passes, Sunday dawns, and now they are confronted with this nonsense being spoken by these women who had been at the tomb. These women are telling the disciples of an empty tomb, of angels who had appeared to them at the tomb, and a message from these angels that Jesus was not dead, but alive. Nonsense indeed. Nonsense indeed. It's interesting to note that in the original language of the New Testament, the original language is Greek, New Testament. It's interesting that the word used for nonsense in the original text of the New Testament is liros. And this word suggests delirious talk. Talk coming from a state of delirium. Liros, delirium. Like, for example, talk coming from the mouth of someone who's got a high fever or someone under anesthesia. So that's the view of the disciples with regard to what these women are saying. These women, they must be speaking from a state of delirium, because everyone knows that with respect to human beings, with respect to, I guess, organic beings in general, once dead, always dead, right? Once dead, always dead. That was the case in Jesus' time. That's the case in our time still. The science hasn't changed. The reality hasn't changed. Dead people don't just get up, walk out of their tombs, and rejoin the land of the living. Dead people stay dead. That's how it is. That's the way it's always been. It's the way it'll always be. To say otherwise is complete and utter nonsense. But wait. Let's recognize at least that this isn't actually the first time such nonsense had been spoken in connection with this story. Jesus himself had spoken such nonsense too when he was still alive. In fact, this nonsense talk of Jesus is what the angel reminds the women of at the tomb. And guess what? That angel, he's right. We read in the recorded words of Jesus that not once, not twice, but three times he predicts that he's going to be killed and that on the third day he's going to rise again. Apparently, all this nonsense talk began with him. One such instance of this nonsense talk is when Jesus and the disciples were walking to Jerusalem. I'll read now from Mark 10:32. Jesus is telling his disciples some pretty shocking stuff here. We read this. They were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and his disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid, again, because of the things Jesus was saying. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," Jesus said. "And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Well, as we say in the States, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Those women speaking nonsense are merely perpetuating a tradition of nonsense. A tradition of nonsense started by Jesus himself. It appears their nonsense is just one more iteration of his nonsense. So what to think of this nonsense? What to think of it all? This talk of an empty tomb, this talk of a Jesus once very much dead, now very much alive. Well, someone rising from the dead, it certainly defies reality as we know it, but perhaps what we need to consider this morning is an alternative reality. Or perhaps better said, more accurately said, a bigger reality. A bigger reality. A bigger reality than what we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, or otherwise sense. A bigger reality than what we can calculate, measure, or observe. A bigger reality than what we can prove, demonstrate, or substantiate. A bigger reality than what we can easily perceive, quickly understand, or even readily imagine. A bigger reality that cannot be explained by biology, supported by physics, or substantiated by chemistry. A bigger reality than what is normal, usual, customary, expected. A bigger reality that is this reality. The reality of a God who exists. The reality of a God who exists both in and outside of this world. The reality of a God who created biology and physics and chemistry, but is not limited by them. The reality of a God who is not merely a divine force, but actually a relational being. The reality of a God who, when rejected by the very creatures he had created, found in love a way for them to be brought back into a relationship with him. A God whose way of doing so was to send his son Jesus Christ to suffer, die, and rise again, so that the stuff that separated people from him, the stuff like their pride and their hypocrisy, their selfishness and their self-reliance, their indifference and their unresponsiveness, their need for power and their desire for control, that all this would not separate them from him anymore. A God who sends his son into the world so that he and his creatures might once again be in communion or relationship with each other. The reality of a God who made all this happen simply out of love. Love for his precious creatures, for his precious creations. That's the bigger reality that I might suggest today. You see, given this reality then, what that empty tomb represents is not the product of someone's delirium, but rather the result of God's gracious plan of salvation. Now, I can well imagine that to many of our 21st century ears, this sounds still like utter nonsense. The babblings of someone experiencing delirium, religious or otherwise. But actually, what this kind of talk represents is, as I said before, a picture of a bigger reality. A reality that does not necessarily confront us each and every day, but a reality that will certainly confront us someday. And so for this reason then, it's a reality that can't ultimately be ignored, but it's a reality that should be embraced, no matter how nonsensical at first it might sound. Now, I've got to warn you something here, okay? It's a caveat, I guess. Should you believe this nonsense that I've been talking about this morning, this empty tomb nonsense, this Jesus is alive nonsense, should you believe that nonsense, there's a whole lot of other nonsense that will now follow from that initial nonsense. This because ultimately to embrace the empty tomb and an alive Jesus to embrace those things is to effectively, or in effect, enlist as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This because to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to accept the life of one of his followers. They go together. You believe and then you follow. And most of this life as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it makes no sense. Just like the resurrection, it makes no sense. You might say it too is nonsense. From his followers, after all, Christ demands such nonsense as loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, forgiving those who have wronged you. Nonsense, yes? No amens? Are you people sleeping? From his followers, Christ demands such nonsense as caring for the unwanted, caring for the unwelcome, caring for the undesirable in society. Putting the needs of others before your own. Living a life oriented toward giving rather than toward getting. Nonsense, yeah? From his followers, Christ demands such nonsense, acknowledging you are not the center of the universe. Acknowledging you don't control the universe. Acknowledging that you are not God. Accepting and acknowledging that you don't get to define right and wrong. You don't get to define good and evil. You don't get to define desirable or undesirable. You don't get to call the shots. You are not God. Nonsense, yeah? Nonsense, that kind of stuff. From his followers, Christ demands such nonsense as choosing to be the last rather than the first. Choosing to give up what the world values in order to gain what God values. Choosing less now, perhaps, in order to get more later, more of what really matters. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. You see, I told you it was nonsense. But this nonsense is different from the kind of nonsense those dogs heard with their headphones. Because actually this nonsense makes perfect sense. When you consider the reality, this bigger reality of who God is, of how much he loves us, and of what kind of lives he has graciously created to live. No, it makes sense, perfect sense, when you consider these things. And so I invite each and every one of us this morning to do just that on this Easter Sunday morning. To consider what might seem like nonsense. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, embrace this nonsense for ourselves. In other words, to embrace the risen Christ and this life of grace he wants us to live. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, you have given us hope today. In the risen Christ, you have given us hope. And we pray, Lord, that we would respond to this hope in joy, that we would embrace what seemed like nonsense and continues to seem like nonsense, perhaps. And may we then, through our embrace of him and this nonsense, be transformed into the people you want us to be. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. Go from here today embracing the nonsense that makes perfect sense. And go from here embracing the risen Christ and the life he has called us, his disciples, to live. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.